There's a form we'd love for you to fill out, put in the basket on the beside the door on the way out. There's a wicker basket, and let us know a little bit about yourselves, and maybe you could call or we could call, and we can learn a little bit about each other and make sure you know you're always welcome back here at Lake Fork Country Bible Church. Thank you. Yes. Yes, ma'am, we do, and I think that would be a great thing to do. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Beverly. Happy birthday to you.
Yep, there we go. Now you hear me. Y'all can hear me pretty good without being turned on. Do announcements first. At 9 a.m. every Sunday morning, there is a prayer time in the back room over here. All people are invited. Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. On Sunday worship, we start at 9:45. Women's Bible study is on Tuesday night, 6:30. And the midweek worship or Wednesday's night Sunday school prayer meeting, there you go, is at 6 p.m. on Wednesday night. We'll be doing a Lord's Supper next week. You don't have to be a member of the church to participate. You just have to be a believer in Christ. We don't know. That's all we ask for to do. After we get done today, we have what's fashionably known as the eat and meet today. There's food next door. There'll be plenty. If you didn't bring nothing, don't worry. Come over and eat. We got plenty, and everybody is welcome. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, I thank you so very much for the people that take the time to come together and worship you. Father, we love seeing family members come together, and we are family members if we are believers in you. Father, we ask that you would give us peace during these times. We see so much stuff going on the news. We are surrounded by news 24/7, and it always seems that it's something that we don't want to hear, Father. We get tied up in things that go on around this earth. And we need to understand, Father, that you are our salvation. You come, you sent your son to die on a cross some 2,000 years ago. He stayed in the earth for 3 days, and then he rose. Father, we trust in that for our salvation. And we ask that as we walk through this thing, that you would show us more and more of your glory. Allow us to show your glory through us. Give us the peace that surpasses understanding, knowing that we will have trials in our life, but you have overcome this world. And I ask that you would be with us as we walk through this next week and allow us to shine your light through us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Turn me on. Good. Your prayer reading this morning is from Daniel chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Am I right? Was that right? Usually he sneaks me. He's like, usually when Mike has me do this, he gives me like 40 verses to do. He only gave me 2 this morning. Does that mean he's going to be short? Never with Mike. Okay, everybody should be turned there by now. The book of Daniel, chapter 1, we'll start at verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your face worse, liking than the children which are of your sort? Then ye shall make me endanger my head to the king.
Testing. It works. Good. Glad something works. I tell people I'm so old that everything doesn't work anymore, and what works hurts. Enjoyed that special very much. Always, Brenda, your playing sends chills up and down my back. Thank you so much for being here. Huh? Right. And Brad, you did a great job on that. One of my favorites. I was thinking about this morning, late last night, and thinking about Daniel, a young man that was a long way from home, under difficult situations. And how he remained faithful. Oh, by the way, I forgot to do this before. In fact, I think it's the first time we've had these folks here at the same time, but I want to introduce to you our three latest church members. And Gary and Kim, would y'all stand, please? And Vic, I know you're bashful like I am, but if you would stand, that'd be great. Good to see new people. But anyway, I was thinking about today, and life gets tough. There's some situations where individuals that I am aware of ma'am. Would you speak up like you do at home? Beverly's family, we're good. It's good to have them. I was about to get around to that, I think. I'm so thankful for my wife. She renewed my contract for another year. I'm thankful for that. Two guys were talking, and one guy was grumbling a little bit about his wife. And his friend said, well, hey, weren't you telling me that when you married Mrs. Wright? And the guy said, yeah, but I didn't know her first name was Always. Marriage is full of surprises, folks. But it's mostly just asking each one of you, do you have to do that right now? So anyway, it's good to see Beverly's family. I have had the pleasure of speaking with Eric several times on the phone, and let's give them a round of applause for being here. And by the way, I don't know, am I supposed to tell this or not, Nancy, about what you brought? No, I won't tell. Anyway, we've got a surprise for you, Eric and Beverly and all the rest of you Yankees from New York. We've got that surprise for you. Corpus Christi. Now, okay. I don't blame you. I'd change that too. But anyway, it's good to have each and every one of you here. I've learned that the secret of a happy marriage still remains a secret. So that's enough of that nonsense. Let's get over that.
Daniel,
that's right. Thank you very much. Rowdy group we got here this morning. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer, please. Father, we come to you this morning with grateful hearts that, Father, you saw in your plan for the ages to send your Son a spotless sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Father, you offer to us all, each one of us, the free gift of eternal life if we would just believe and trust that Christ, your Son, died on the cross to pay for our sin. He paid for them in full. Father, you declared that if we would do that, we're your children, and we're safe and secure forevermore. We do thank you for that, that assurance, as we walk through this world and this life, till we see you face to face. Thank you for this time together. Guide our thoughts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Daniel, a young man that was probably somewhere between the ages of maybe 15 to 20, carried off into Babylonian captivity by Nebuchadnezzar. All the young men that were taken captive at that time that Nebuchadnezzar looked at and saw promise in them or their service to him in the future, called them out and put them in a special program. The program really wasn't too much fun to start with because all of these young men that were taken into captivity by Nebuchadnezzar were neutered so that they could not bring forth children into the world that might eventually sometime in the future rebel against Nebuchadnezzar. So in my mind, that's not a very good start for captivity. But Nebuchadnezzar could see promise in these young men, especially four of them. We'll be looking at their names in a recap from last week. But Daniel, this book we're looking at, is a book of prophecy. And I believe not only does it talk about the time in which Daniel was in captivity, but it looks forward into the time of the Gentiles, which we're in right now. And the 70 weeks of Daniel that Daniel saw, that Nebuchadnezzar saw and Daniel interpreted concerning the times, the end times of the Gentiles, what would take place. This young man of most likely noble birth, could possibly have been royal birth, but he was carried away with his friends into this foreign land and was there in captivity. Daniel, the book of Daniel, is a book that is different than any other book in the Word of God in that it is written in two different languages, Aramaic, which is a Gentile language, and then in Hebrew. We find in chapters 1 through 2, verse 3 and chapters 8 through 12 were written in Hebrew. The rest were written in Aramaic. We find in the book of Daniel how it describes the situation that Daniel and his friends found themselves in. We find that Daniel is not mentioned in that great faith chapter that we have in Hebrews chapter 11. But Daniel was a man who was, if a man could be, completely spotless in his walk with the Lord and his walk here on this earth. The prophecy, as I said before, the book of Daniel carries through this time that we're living in currently, the times of the Gentiles. The historic properties of this book go into minute detail. describing what it would be like and will be like. Some of these things that we'll see in the book of Daniel have already taken place. Or, if you would, some are even in the process of taking place and being completed, and some still remain to be experienced here during this time of the Gentiles. Daniel's vision of four beasts concerning the four kingdoms of the times of the Gentiles we'll be looking at. So we find here that Daniel's 70th week concerning the nations that will affect the Jewish people during this time in which we're living. We find that their God, the God of the Babylonians, was a very difficult God to pacify. Many things he would, Nebuchadnezzar would say, was told him by his God of the Babylonians. But Daniel's God was the true God, and he led Daniel in every aspect of his walk during this time of captivity. Daniel lived throughout the entire captivity, the 70 years captivity that he was experiencing as he wrote this book. And the events were recorded here in Daniel. We find obedience to Daniel's God was demanded in Daniel's mind. The same life of separation that he was conducting himself in, whether he lived in Babylon as a captive or whether he remained in Israel as a free man, he lived the same. He knew that strong drink would not strengthen him in his worship. He would not lower himself to eat of the king's meat, swine's flesh, which was against the instruction that he received from his God. His life was still to be kosher. His food was still to be kosher. His food, his walk with the Lord, was deemed necessary in his mind. God was to dominate Daniel completely. We read here in Daniel chapter 1 verses 11 through 14. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat. That's vegetables, if you would. Vegetables eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance, you take a look at it and see how we compare to the other Israelite young men that were in bondage as Daniel and his three friends were. And as thou seest, he said to Melzar, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. He said, fellas, you've got 10 days, but let's see how this works out. Otherwise, my head is on the chopping block, so to speak. God will always provide helps. He provided help in this instance for Daniel. In our walk with the Lord in these times in which we live, difficult times, uncertain times, critical times as far as the world's situation is concerned, wars and rumors of wars have been prophesied in these latter days, and we see that on the face of the globe. There is no peace as a rule of thumb anywhere in the world. Everything is a boiling pot. And we can expect it, and many people expect it to boil over. But we find that when we trust God, He's always in control of all things in our lives. And that's a difficult thing to do, to trust the Lord completely when things are going wrong. In fact, this morning, I texted Freddie Coyle, and I told him that I was praying for him, that he would have and his family, he and his family would have a blessed day. He texted me back, the first time I've heard from him in a text or an email since before his surgery. And he said, "Mike, I'm praying for you today, and I would appreciate your prayers for me, because," he said, "I've got quite a battle, but the Lord is in total control." Those are not good words. He could step aside. He could retire early, although I don't know what it would live on. He lives on love offerings. Our church supports him in a minuscule way. My wife and I, we support them. But I don't know how many people it would take to support him and his family. Pray for that, that his support will continue. But I would say this, that God has a way. God shows Daniel the way. God stands by Daniel in the book of Daniel. God stands by us today as we walk this unknown road that we've never walked before, as individuals nor as a country. I was reading somewhere, I forget, this past week. In fact, the older I get, the more I tend to forget. But I read about the expected COVID epidemic that's coming at the end of summer. I don't know about that, but I know who's in control of that. God's way need only a short time to prove themselves, as Daniel proved to this eunuch who was over him and the other prisoners from Israel. 10 days, feed us vegetables, Daniel said. Give us water to drink. So this eunuch had control over Daniel's meat, if you would, his meals, and what he had to drink. He laid his life on the line and said, "Go ahead, I'll give you what you want." And he did. 10 days later, the men of faith, Daniel, his three friends, proved that God was in control. He was in charge not only of their captivity, but he was in charge of their very lives as he blessed them. Daniel chapter 1, verse 15 through 21, "And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Belshazzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all of the learning and wisdom. Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. At the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king commanded them, communed with them, and encouraged them because of their countenance. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm, in all his kingdom. Daniel continued even until the first year of the king of Cyrus." Proof, positive, God can work in our lives. He worked in Daniel's life. He brought him through the difficulties. He enabled him to do things that the rest of the captives could not do. Even the men that were Babylonian by birth, he could do more in discerning what God would have go and take place in their captivity. They ate pulse, vegetables, proved their worth. Also proved the wisdom of God, that he knows all, and that he cares for us with a care that we can't understand. Tell me, can you understand how he could love you, how he could love me with such a perfect love, that he would send his only begotten Son, he would die and pay for our sin? You tell me how God can do that for a sinner such as I. For the sins of the whole world, not one did he pass up paying for. He paid for every one, removed the penalty of sin to all of those who trust in Christ as their Savior. Daniel practiced his faith not in order to become better than his countrymen, but to please the Lord. How do we conduct our life? Are we conducting our life to please someone else? To get the promotions and the jobs that we have? To please those that we feel like are able to do more things for us? Is that the way that we live our lives? I would tell you this morning, live your life. And I'm speaking to myself too. Live your life pleasing unto the Lord. He will direct your paths. He knows what's best, for he is God. He's the Creator. He's the one who knows all, who knows our hearts, our minds, our motives, our deeds, our sins. When we trust him, his word tells us he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. What a gracious God we serve. Are we sharing that news with other people? We should be. We should be. God has given us that responsibility. We are his spokesman. He could have used an animal to spread his word. The Old Testament, we find the mule of Balaam spoke to Balaam. God used a mule. Actually, it was a donkey. Speak to Balaam. God could have used anything in his creation, but he chose to use us to share the gospel with other people. It's our responsibility. We'll be rewarded for those that we've shared the gospel with when we stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will be judged. We've already been judged for our sin by the death on the cross. Our sin has been paid for. He's removed it as far as the east is from the west. He remembers it no more. We find that chapter 1 in the book of Daniel is a historical division of this great book. By application, we can see that Daniel goes into quite a bit of detail in prophecy. During the coming tribulation, when Israel will be again scattered throughout all of the world, the Gentile world, there will be a much larger number of young men who separate themselves and go out into the world. Service the Lord God himself. Be 144,000 of these young men, eunuchs, not in the sense that these captives were made eunuch, but personal decisions. They would not marry. They would not have a wife. They would not have relations with women. 144,000 God will choose and send them all over the earth, spreading the good news of salvation through faith in Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 14, verse 4, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God to the Lamb. 144,000 eunuchs. These young men that the Lord Jesus describes as eunuchs have made themselves so for the kingdom of heaven's sake, for their ability to move, not encumbered with caring for someone else other than themselves. They go out throughout the world sharing the gospel. Matthew chapter 19, verse 12, for there are some eunuchs which are so born from their mother's womb, and there are some eunuchs which were made eunuchs of men, and there be eunuchs which have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He that is able to receive it, let him receive it. These are the preachers that God will raise up during the tribulation period. If I can look around and I see signs that are all around the world and the times in which we live, nobody knows the day or the hour, but I feel like that time is closer than it's ever been before. Like Daniel, these 144,000 will be rewarded for their devotion to the Lord God. In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Listen, friend, if you've never known what it means to have your sins forgiven, to have heaven as your home, God's word tells us that you can know. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. We find elsewhere in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he, God, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Just as Daniel depended upon the Lord Jesus Christ for his safety and for his nourishment and for his life, so we have an opportunity this morning, if you've never trusted Christ, to trust Christ as your personal Savior. I like to use an illustration. Letting this hand represent you and I, and let this represent sin. God says, you know, I love you so much that I sent my Son to die for you and pay for your sin. And that's been accomplished. But you're not going to get into heaven with that sin on you. We're sinners. We who know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will admit we do things that are wrong. Sometimes we live for a portion of our life in such a way people can look at us, but they never see that we know Christ as our personal Savior because of our actions. God's Word tells us that He loves us, but He hates our sin. The reason He hates that sin, as I said, we can't get into heaven with that sin. Letting this hand represent Jesus Christ, He came, took our sin and paid for it, moved it as far as the east is from the west, and He remembers it no more. There's many people out there this morning standing behind pulpits say, if you lead a good life, if you tithe, if you give to the poor, turn over a new leaf, stop and give somebody a ride that needs a ride. We fall for that. Many people sitting in the pews this morning fall for that. They do enough good works. They'll pay for their sin themselves. You name a good work. If we pray enough, read enough, but you see, we can do that, but there's still always more sin. We need to get rid of that sin, letting this hand represent Jesus Christ. He was sinless, He was perfect, and He came, paid a payment for our sin. He paid for it. He removed it from us. Put him on us, put it on himself, and he died. Paid for that sin. And he says, I'll give you eternal life. You'll just believe that. I'll give you my righteousness to go to heaven on if you'll just believe that. Just trust that. That's all you have to do. God's Word says that it's eternal. God's Word says it's eternal. I believe it's eternal. The moment you trust Christ, you have everlasting life. Never to be cast out, never to be lost, never to go to hell. Your destination is in heaven. The world today is covered with people attempting to pay for their sin themselves. God made it so easy. Why do we call God a liar? Why do we do that? By not trusting Him. Here this morning, you've never trusted Christ, personal Savior. Do that before you leave here. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Nobody looking around. Bowing your head and closing your eyes doesn't save you. But it gives me an opportunity that I wouldn't have otherwise, because I don't know what you're thinking and what you're doing. But if you're here this morning, you've never trusted Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven, but you would like to do that, let me say it's really simple. You do it by faith, trust in what Christ has done for you. Saying a prayer now won't save you, but you might just simply in your own mind just say, Lord, the best way I know how right now, I want to trust Christ and what He's done for me to get me to heaven. Best way I know how, I'm doing that. I don't have all of the answers. I've got a lot of questions yet. Best way I know how, I'm taking you at your word and trusting Christ and what He's done for me. Get me to heaven. If you're doing that, I firmly believe on the authority of God's word and scripture that you now have eternal life. God knows that. You know that. But I don't know that. I'd consider it a privilege to pray for you in the days and weeks to come. I won't call you forward, won't ask you to walk an aisle, I won't ask you to do anything publicly, I won't get with you after the service, but I'd count it a privilege to pray for you. If you're doing that, the best way you know how, you're trusting Christ and what He's done for you to get you to heaven. Would you just slip up your hand till I see it and put it down again? Anybody? Best way you know how, you're taking God at His word, trusting Christ and what He's done for you. Heaven. Fine. Father, we thank You so much for this time together. We thank You for the truth of Your word. We thank You, Father, that You're in control of all things. Father, You saw in ages past, Father, You saw our need today if we don't know You as our personal Savior. You made that payment for us. Father, we thank You for that. Thank You for this time together. Ask, Father, that You'd be with those that are here. Bless them extra special good as we leave this place today. Father, we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Okay, please stand, open your hymnals number